Well, good morning. How has your week been, especially the last few days? Pretty good? Yeah. You know, one thing about a holiday week, especially a holiday week like this one, the whole purpose is what? What do we celebrate this week? Independence, freedom, yes. But more specifically, what did we celebrate this week? Okay, the founding of the country that we get to enjoy, which was based on those principles of freedom, independence. Okay. It was meant, we celebrate it over and over again every year because we intend for it to be something we don't want to lose sight of, right? We want to keep it before us. It's one of those things that we repeat because we don't want to forget. Which leads me to unforgettable, which is kind of my theme for the next few weeks that we've already began last week. You know, last week we talked about one of the basic prime foundation unforgettable things that we see in Scripture. One of the things we see repeated over and over and over again is the fact that it takes faith to please God. And we talked about the fact that the Bible constantly, in order to underscore that it's faith that pleases God, gives us object lessons through people. And the person that we looked at last week is the person that the Bible repeatedly talks about as being the model for faith. So we talked about Abraham. Abram in his beginning, and then Abraham once he received his blessing from God. So we found that that example was one that we, even though we are Gentiles, should model, mainly because Abraham himself was not necessarily a Hebrew. He was Semitic, but he was a man who responded to God in faith, and so he was an example for us. Well, today I want to look at another aspect we see in the Bible that is just as important and is constantly pointed to, and that is that God calls out leaders. And the kind of leader that God calls out is one that we ought to uphold and remember and model in our own lives and amongst our own leaders. The example that the Bible goes back to over and over and over again as the one who was the leader that was very influential. Now, if you look in this Bible, there's tons of leaders. Over and over again, century upon century, decade upon decade of leader, leader, leader. Somebody who heard from God, knew God, and responded to what God told them to do, and they led. But there's one that if you look through Scripture, is constantly referred to over and over and over again. And that would be Moses. Over and over and over again, the Bible refers to Moses as a leader. And the things that we see in Moses' life should be unforgettable. Let's look at, first of all, a passage that sort of reminds us from the New Testament that this Moses is this kind of guy for us. And here we can pull it from Acts chapter 7. And if you remember the context of Acts chapter 7, this was a guy who was just like you and me speaking these words. This was a guy named Stephen, who essentially was preaching his one and only recorded message right before he was stoned to death for preaching that one recorded message. And he started his story with Abram, and the next person he talked about was Moses in his historical tracing of God's dealing with people. And this is what he said about Moses. He said, this same Moses, whom they, the people that he was leading, had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? It's kind of like a third grader. Or, you know, well, who made you king? Who made you in charge of me? You know, you hear that kind of thing. He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God Himself through the angel that appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt and did wonders and miraculous signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the desert. This guy was a leader because he put up with a stubborn and stiff-necked bunch and actually accomplished what God set out for him to do. That's amazing. So I want to look a little bit at some of the things that we learn from the kind of leader that Moses was. Now, I'm not just going to put on all the pretty stuff for you. I'm going to get there. But the reality is, because Moses is a model of leadership for you and me, the reality is, just like you and me, we are broken, we have problems, we mess up, and the reality is, if you look at Moses' story, all the parts of Moses' story, there were things in his life that were not perfect. That should be a great comfort to us when we look at the fact that this is an unforgettable model for us of what leadership should look like. So let's look at a few of the problems. First of all, Moses was a failure. Once again, even Stephen, preaching his message, knew that Moses was a failure, that he had messed up. He stuck his foot in the wrong place. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you're brothers, why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. Moses screwed up. He made a mistake. He killed the Egyptian man, thinking that no one really would register that. Maybe didn't even think anybody was watching. Thought that people would see that he was there to be the hero. But that's not how his brothers perceived that. Instead, they saw it as another murder. He failed. He did not do what God saved his life to do. And you know the story of Moses. So first of all, Moses is a lesson in failure. And that's sad. So the reality is, what do we learn from this? What happened because of Moses' failure? What? Okay, Moses' failure, and he did fail in the future too. He didn't eventually get to go to the Promised Land. It's true, and we'll get to that scene in a few minutes. What else, Stephen? Exile. Whether it was the Cecil B. DeMille version, where Pharaoh tells him, "Here you go, bud, have at the desert," or whether it's Stephen's version, where Moses flees on his own, one way or the other, he knew the jig was up. He had to get out. He couldn't stay where he was. How long was he gone, by the way? Do you know that? 40 years. So he was 40 years old. He had to be gone for 40 years. Came back at 80 and then led the numbskulls through the wilderness for another 40 years. Wow. if I have that kind of ability whenever I'm 80, I'll be doing good, right? What else did he lose? What else did he have to give up? What was the cost? Okay, the family that he knew. Okay, he had been reared in the home of Pharaoh. He lost whatever clout or credibility he had been given. He didn't earn it. Okay. So this failure came at a high price. And it began with what? It was the kernel of thinking he knew how he was supposed to do what God told him he was going to do, right? He stepped in a little too early. He tried to act on his own. He tried to do it his own way. But we're not like that, are we? All right. The next thing we can learn from Moses. He was a man who had low self-esteem. Now, you wouldn't think that that's something that leaders would have. I mean, you don't go looking for a president that has low self-esteem. You don't look for a coach who has low self-esteem. But it's part of Moses' package, part of the example that we have. Here we see Moses said to the Lord, whenever he was talking to him there in that burning bush discussion, "Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who made him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else to do it." Now, yes, he had been in the desert for 40 years. And yes, he had all that baggage riding on his shoulders. He had been carrying it for a long time. Think of all the emotions he must have had. Okay? He knew there was something he was being called to in his life. He knew that God had saved his life as an infant for some reason. He had failed, and now here's God saying, "Time to go." He's saying, no, I've already screwed that up. I have already made that mistake. I have burned that bridge. I don't want to go back there. Don't you have somebody else who's better qualified than me? And God said, "Nope, you're the guy." But he had low self-esteem because he knew all that stuff. Now, the truth is, God did too. Next, frustration. Let me zoom forward a little bit in the story. This is where what Ms. Jerry said kind of comes into play. Yes, he was a failure. Yes, he had low self-esteem. And yes, even as a leader who heard God, knew God, and we're going to get there in a minute, he got frustrated. At a point in the story, people needed water. God told Moses what to do. He said, "Take the staff that he held, that he carried, that had turned into a snake and been picked up and that Moses carried. To take the staff, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together, speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink." So far, so good. We got a plan, right? So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels." It's like the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it? "Listen, you rebels. Must we bring you water out of this rock Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land that I give them. You could say it's another failure, but it came out of frustration. Now, lest we think too harshly of Moses, I mean, he's been leading these people through desert land for years, decades. And God keeps meeting their needs, things like manna and quail, and does it on a daily basis, fresh every day. Now, lest we think, these were people who are used to moving about. Now, granted, when they were in Egypt, they kind of settled down. But their history was they were a traveling people. They moved. So this kind of returned them to their roots. But at the same time, Moses had to put up with people who said, hey, we had it pretty good in Egypt. Why don't we go back? Every single day. And then all the other things that come with leading a group of people. Perhaps up to a million, million and a half people on a daily basis. So, the good news is this. Moses is a lot like us. He fails. He at times suffers from low self-esteem, and he gets frustrated, just like you and me. You know, it's easy for me to get frustrated with a 13 or 18-year-old. Think about millions. Think about people with their own agendas. It's a challenge. All right, so we got those three things. But let's turn to the positive things, because certainly it's not these things that are necessarily what are the things we're supposed to model in Moses' leadership. Moses did obey. So that's a great thing for us to remember. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. He obeyed, Aaron obeyed, good things happened because people came back to God. So obedience breeds obedience. That's why it's such an important characteristic in a leader, is whenever people see their leader doing what they need to do, people will follow. People will model. People will emulate what they see their leader doing. So obedience is a very key thing. Very key to a leader. Can you think of any reasons why? Got anything shooting through your mind right now about obedience and leadership? Practice what you preach. Humility. In our culture, do we equate obedience with leadership very often? At certain levels, we do. Sometimes we seem to venerate those who do it their own way. That doesn't necessarily make them disobedient. But we sometimes forget that some of the greatest leaders that we've ever had or that have ever lived were people who did submit themselves to a greater or other authority and were willing to do things in accordance with that authority. Sometimes that authority was God, or sometimes it was someone else. You know, I think of, since it's Independence celebration. You know, you think of George Washington. They offered George Washington, you know, by the story, they offered George Washington the opportunity to be the king. And he said, no, I will not be a king. He submitted himself to a form of government that was created for the people, of the people, by the people. To me, that was, in essence, he was being obedient. And then he was obedient to the laws that created the office that he walked into. What do you think? Am I far afield, or are you with me on the illustration? Okay, so obedience. Unforgettable because of obedience. Next thing. This is important. Moses was unforgettable as a leader because he knew God. You know, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near. Now, that radiance, I think, although he was radiant for you and me, that is very symbolic of being with God in God's presence, knowing Him. And there is nothing that can take the place of that kind of relationship with God. If we want to be leaders, this is an essential part of it. If we really want to have the kind of lasting effect and influence that God wants us to have as leaders. Now let me take a moment of departure from all of this and ask the question, on some level, are each one of us called to be leaders? Okay, if you got children, are you supposed to be a leader? Okay. If you happen to be the oldest in your family, does that sort of give you a position of, even if it's just positional leadership? You know, my dad is now the oldest remaining grandchild of his grandfather, and everybody in the family, for that reason and others, kind of, if they have an issue or a problem, they'll call my dad. Even though my dad's in Georgia and they're all in Arkansas. We go back to Matthew 28. If you're making disciples, does that not then mean that you're a leader? Isn't that who we are? Some way, somehow. So knowing God, how can you lead somebody if you don't know the God you're trying to lead them to? So knowing God is key. Essential. Obedience, knowing God. Third, courage. Courage. Think about the story for a minute. There are several points at which Moses had to express courage. Think before we even read what's up there. What are some points in the story of Moses that we know he had to express and demonstrate courage? Stephen. Just going back to Egypt. And there's kind of two parts to that, isn't there? Who did he have to have courage before back in Egypt? He had to face Pharaoh, okay? Yes, absolutely. Who else did he have to face? The Israelites. Remember, when you left, you ran with your tail between your legs because we knew you had killed an Egyptian. So here, Exodus 7. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like a god to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt, and with mighty acts of judgment, I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. We don't know how old Pharaoh was. Truth is, we really don't know if it's the same Pharaoh that Moses grew up with. We don't know that for a fact. Makes good for Cecil B. DeMille, but we don't know that for sure. So, we have an 80-year-old Moses going back to Egypt to confront Pharaoh, to convince the Israelites to listen to him. And he had to have a whole lot of courage. Can you imagine going back to Pharaoh time after time after time? And folks, good things are not happening when he goes to see Pharaoh. I mean, after the frogs and after the locusts and after, you know, I mean, that's some awful stuff. And he keeps going back. He had to have great courage to go stand in front of Pharaoh and to tell him the bottom line. You got to let us go, or something else is going to happen. I'm telling you now. And that the Bible says that God intentionally allowed Moses' heart to become more and more and more callous. You got to have a lot of courage to face that. The courage, part of unforgettable leadership. Next slide, John. Here's one that we know is true, and today we kind of hold this as a value. I can't say that in our culture we've always held this as a value. But I believe that it's true, and I think that we see it in Moses' example. Another part in the story. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Now, for just a minute, think about this. The biggest line you would ever see at Christmas to get the latest eye product. Multiply that by a couple. And that's what it looks like whenever people are going to Moses for a decision. Do people on that line stay happy very long? And just think, if they're having to stand in line beside the person they've got a contentious issue with, is that a very good thing? Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws. Show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." So, we stop. I'm pause the story right there. Moses was willing to listen. He was in the middle of a conundrum, and the only thing he knew to do, keep his head down and keep plowing. Every day, the line extended out of the tent, around the tent a few times. And all he knew to do was just keep doing the best he knew to do, which was the same thing over and over again. And then Jethro, his father-in-law, observed what was going on. And he gave him advice. Now Moses, if he had been proud or arrogant, unteachable, and he had been closed, could have disregarded whatever Jethro told him. But instead, he serves as a great example because he listened. It wasn't solicited. He didn't say, "Jethro, why don't you watch me today and tell me anything you might want to do that might help me do my job better." But instead, we have Jethro, who's got some experience being the priest of Midian, who just happened to say, "You know, Moses, there might be a better way of doing this. God show you this is what you need to do, but you might want to get other people online here." Jethro was encouraging Moses to multiply himself. He was encouraging Moses to make sure that some other people who were faithful and trustworthy were developed in the same role model as he was. Now, the odd thing is, in a sense, that the same things that we're talking about today would be the things that he would be passing along to those people. He was extending himself. So we have to ask ourselves the question, are there things about leadership that we need to be passing along to the people that we have that position and role in our lives that we have not begun to teach them, and we need to teach them? These things like obedience, knowing God, courage, being open to advice, that this is part of being a leader. And when they get to know God, and they know His ways, and they know what it means to be a leader, then they get to be that person in that role where they get to then multiply themselves as well. So being open to advice is important. And the next step was following up on the advice, and that is delegation. Because Jethro said, have them serve as judges for all the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. You be the Supreme Court, Moses. The simple cases they can decide themselves, that will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. And Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. So what happened was Moses then engaged people, developed people to carry, not just make his job easier, but what he did was he developed people who could be leaders just like him. So delegation, important part of being a leader, something we shouldn't forget. And the next, the last, something that every leader has to have, needs to have, ought to have, but rarely has. And that is the ability to persevere, to suffer struggles, difficulties, problems, troubles. Now let me say this from experience, because I've been a bad example. In the examples and models of being a leader amongst the people of God that I saw, it was what you did whenever. I didn't have good models for what it meant to be a leader in a church. I didn't want to be a milquetoast guy who did everything that the people said and got to stay where he was for 35 years. At the same time, I didn't want to be one of the guys after I got into being a pastor. I also didn't want to be one of those guys that ended up going from church to church to church to church. Now, at first, that's what I thought you were supposed to do. I thought that was the way I thought it was. If there was a corporate ladder, there was a church ladder. And that the way you did it was you start out in a little rural church, and then you moved up to the county seat church, and then you got on staff in a big church, and then you got asked to be a pastor of a big church. That's the way I thought it would work. Okay? That was the way it went. But the issue also was that when things got hot, you ran. You went somewhere else where the grass was greener. Now the problem was, if you look at the examples that we're talking about, it certainly, there was no long suffering in that. If you're always moving and you're never dealing with people, and the issue was, you've got to go where God tells you to go. And you've got to stay where God tells you to stay. And you don't go till God tells you to go. And God doesn't tell you to go just because it's hard. And you don't get to do everything you want to do just because you want to do it. So are you seeing how complicated this can be? And sometimes we're not good examples. And we have to learn from our own failures, mistakes, and problems. So long-suffering, I have now come to embrace in a much different way than I used to. Moses was a great example of long-suffering. Here's a part of the story, Exodus 32. Moses saw that the people were running wild. You ever seen people running wild? And that Aaron had let them get out of control. It was Aaron's fault. That old rascal, my brother. And so become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and he said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, now this is tough, folks. This is very tough. "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor." The Levites did as Moses commanded. And that day, about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, "You have been set apart to the Lord today. For you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day." The next day, Moses said to the people, "You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book you have written." The Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin." What was Moses doing here? If Moses hadn't interceded, I don't know what would have happened. We don't know. But we do know that he went to God. He knew how bad it was. He knew the situation that the people were in. It was bad. So bad that he had the Levites go deal with those who were the instigators. It was bad, bad, bad. And then Moses goes. He tried to deal with the rebellion, and then he went to God to ask that the rebellion not spread. He suffered. He went to God for the people. And as a leader, leadership is not about me getting higher on the rung. Leadership is about the people you're leading. That's a lesson we can't forget. And that is so easily set aside in our culture. To be a leader means you have power, you have influence, you have fame, sometimes you have wealth. All those things go with being a leader in our culture. That's contra the example that we've been given, that the Bible says is the leader model in Moses. So, what do you think about leadership? What do you think about Moses? Does his example work today? Is it working today? Is it at work today? Where do you see Moses' example of leadership at work today? If it does, then there ought to be people you can point to, right? You go farther than the Sycamore Church. Outside of church, we don't see a lot of people modeling all of these. We might see them modeling some of those, but not all of those. Okay, we've got a politician. Jack Kingston seems to stand up, as far as we know. Christian homes, families, okay? All right? Now, you can agree with me or disagree with me. I think Dan Cathy, who is, Dan Cathy has not been afraid to make statements about his personal disagreement with certain laws or things that have been passed. He's not saying that he's not going to obey the law, but he has expressed that he disagrees with some of the laws that have been passed, some of the decisions that politicians have made, and he's drawn a lot of attention and ire. But the reality is, he's sticking to his values, his integrity, he's obeying God. He knows God. He's, made steps. The company is there to make money, but it also serves people and intentionally makes it known that they're there to serve people. So, see a lot of those things. Lee Strobel, writer. Okay. I want you to be thinking. And one of the reasons why I want you to be thinking is so that you begin to gain encouragement by seeing that there really are people out there who want to be leaders that are this kind of leader that God places and honors and uses. And it doesn't have to be somebody else. It could be you. And it doesn't have to be on this national stage. It could be, like Brian said, it could be in your home. If we would implement these kind of characteristics in our own ability to lead and then let God take care of the rest of it, that's usually what happens. Anything else you have? If you're making disciples, making a disciple, you are leading one. And you lead who you have. You can't lead who you don't have. yet, right? A book that we have in the past tried to have people read, it's a very good book. You learn a lot of lessons in it. You also learn what I would call a vocabulary that you can use to talk about leadership. It's called The Making of a Leader. The guy's name is Robert Clinton. We used to read that and talk about that quite often. We haven't in a while. But that is an excellent book on leadership, spiritual leadership. And he talks about and helps trace the development of specific Christian leaders and seasons that their lives went through. And he begins to kind of see patterns and consistencies and make observations. It is just a great book. Not only for the stories that it tells you, it pulls out, people who essentially, like Moses, perhaps were seen as a leader, and then for some reason, something happened in their lives, and all of a sudden, they were no longer. It was like they were sucked out of public view altogether. And then at some point, after they had been through stuff that no leader would want to go through, they were reinserted. And then it was their time. It was when God used them. And it's just good to read stories like, and remember that God is in charge of our seasons in our lives. And that just because we go through periods where either we struggle or the ones we love struggle, does not mean that this is all there is. Robert Clinton, The Making of a Leader. So, you know, get that book. Yeah, you'll learn again, as you read the stories, you'll learn a vocabulary for how to talk about spiritual leadership. It's just a good read. Anything else? Anything else? All right, let's pray. Father, in this time, I just ask that you would help us to see the lessons here for us as we try to lead anyone that you've put in our lives to be a leader for. Lord, at my nation, Lord, whoever you've given us, we need to have a heart that resonates with your example, resonates with your spirit and your calling in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would not desire fame, nor importance, nor recognition, but instead, Lord, that we would seek faithfulness and obedience and, Lord, just the desire to be exactly where we are, that we would not desire to be somewhere else, leading someone else, doing something else, but that, Lord, we would be good leaders with the people you've given to us right now. And that, Lord, we will trust you with our future and their future. Lord, thank you for the example and for all the many things that Moses had to suffer and go through to be an example for us, to remind us that he was flesh and blood just like us, and that he was imperfect just like we are. And yet, Lord, we can look at countless passages in Scripture and see that Moses left a mark unlike many people. Lord, I pray there will be more people who will desire to model the kind of leadership that you have set up in your kingdom, and that we will seek to know what that means, and that we'll seek to live it out. I ask this in Jesus' name and for your kingdom's sake. Amen.